I think tonight's show is a great way to end the week. Hopefully, not to ruin your weekend or your week, your new week. I always try to put together, along with my staff, James and Brian, try to put together some interesting news items and try to see how it all fits in the news cycle. We have been working hard to try and ascertain what's going on. Today it was very alarming to hear that there was an earthquake in Japan today. And with all the troubles that have been happening at the Fukushima plant, we just, you know, white knuckle it all the time with that. And I know when I heard that on the radio this morning, as I was coming into work, I was a chill just touched me. I'm thinking, you know, I was told that if we had an earthquake in that area again, we may see some interesting things happen with the nuclear power plant there. However, nothing coming out of Japan right now that is stating that things have gone awry. However, in the past week, we've been hearing about the possibility of the entire plant going China syndrome, whether or not fish in the Pacific are contaminated, whether or not within the next 3 to 5 years. I know that the past show said that within 3 to 5 years, we may see the Pacific Ocean completely uninhabitable as far as fish and plant life. We just will have to see how that goes. You know, it's all about the timing. It's all about when you're planning a show like this one, it's all about making sure everything fits and that we talk about something that you're going to have to prepare for or look out for or keep an eye on. I really don't know if people notice, but Ground Zero is a radio show that prides itself on reporting possible future events based on trends in past histories. We make decisions on programming ideas based on certain models and trends. I know a lot of people say, why don't you talk about chemtrails? Or we do talk about chemtrails sometimes, if we feel that chemtrails are a necessity to look at and to ponder. If there's going to be a number of news items in the cycle that you will be aware of, we want to be able to report it to you first before the mainstream media or anyone else decides to put their agenda in it. We try to do things without an agenda. We try to do things as best we can here, and that is why at times you may wonder why I decide to talk about certain subjects and question the relevancy of the subject matter prior to the event happening or a number of events transpiring within the news cycle. And I can assure everyone that listens to Ground Zero that in most cases, we here try to report stories that may affect you in the future, and for the most part, I see patterns in the news cycle, just like I'm seeing patterns, and I tell you to pay attention to the patterns in the news cycle. I see the trends, and the trends that I see lead me to both paranormal explanations and hopefully explanations and details that can be palatable for those who do not necessarily believe that things are planned or permitted. More times than not, though, I'm beginning to conclude that with all my experience and what I've been doing with the show, that a lot of what happens in the news is planned and prepared, meaning that, there's that old axiom that President Franklin Roosevelt said. He said, if it happens, it's because the government planned it that way. If it happens, it's because we planned it. Well, last night, my producer sent me email news bulletins. I know Brian does that a lot. When it comes to earthquakes, he was the guy that helped me break the story about Chelyabinsk. But this one was about a pipeline in Syria that was bombed by terrorists and that the result was a complete power grid failure. The entire country was without power. The power failure was expected to last about 48 hours, according to sources. The entire capital had plunged into darkness, and other areas are either without power or very little power. Also, another story, the James Evan Pilato gave to me last night. Space weather websites reporting massive solar flares heading to Earth now. The planet already experienced a huge solar storm just days before. In fact, we were told that we would be seeing the northern lights on the Oregon coast. However, most of the Northwest has been placed in a fog. Seattle is in fog. We have light fog and clouds here. So we weren't able to see those northern lights. The magnetosphere, as you know, absorbs a lot of these solar storms. A lot of huge storms, though. If there's a huge storm that comes in, it's a little bit too much for our magnetic field. We could see a storm that could trigger what is called a Carrington event, where we could see massive power failures and scrambled radio, television, GPS, and cell phone signals. Now, we've had solar flares where we've had phone signals jam and go crazy, and that's been recent. One of the, I guess, the close calls we did have was back in 2011, Valentine's Day. I know that kind of fell into the memory hole, but we had a number of scientists that were monitoring a what they called a modest blast coming from the sun. And it did create a lot of buzz about the possibility of an EMP that could take out the entire power grid. Luckily, that didn't happen, and we didn't experience too many problems, just a few GPS failures and other things. But see, these are things that are realities that are happening as we speak. Comet Ison also seems to be the focus of a lot of people thinking that that Comet Ison bearing towards us is going to create some electrical disturbances, perhaps power grid failures. These are some things that, are concerns because, of course, comets have always been harbingers. Many people consider them harbingers of doom. Anciently, they were harbingers of doom. But now, who knows? We're going to be able to live through one of the most brilliant comets to ever grace our skies, according to scientists, brighter than the moon, they say, as it approaches. I think the closest approach, though, will be around Thanksgiving. And we'll know for sure just how we're going to react to this remarkable extraterrestrial event that's happening in the sky. But in the meantime, the sun still is sending its, what they call serpent ropes. The ancients called them serpent ropes out towards the earth. Serpent ropes in the year of the snake, I find fascinating. The idea that in the year of the snake, the serpent ropes are actually heading towards earth. Somebody sent me a picture the other day of the sun sending out a CME. It looked like a dragon. It was fired out of the sun. Some of the remarkable things that I've been seeing. I haven't really posted them. I've been busy watching a television special called American Blackout, which will air this weekend on National Geographic Channel. I've seen it. It's like a horror film. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, too, because I'm finding it interesting that, you know, there are a lot of people who have, I mean, back in September, we talked about the idea of the power grid being tested or there would be a drill or something. And I think, and I know I pick up listeners all the time and people want to know if I have any comment on this. We've talked about these things off and on from September until about the beginning of October. And we promised the audience we would revisit this if anything new was to be reported. Well, a lot of new things have come up. One is the solar storms that are heading our way. Some other things I want to get into as well tonight that will really make you think, make you wonder if they are truly preparing for some sort of grid disturbance. And we're going to get into that coming up on Ground Zero as we explore the possibility that our government and several others are concerned about the planet's power and what to do when you're powerless. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back with more Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.
One of the biggest blackouts that happened on the grid took place on August 14th, 2003. This blackout was a widespread power outage from the northeastern to the Midwest. The blackout also spread through Canada. And the blackout affected an estimated 10 million people in Ontario and 45 million people in eight U.S. states. Now, while this event was probably remembered by more people on the East Coast, it's important to recall the events that took place prior to the blackout. Now, pay attention to this. 6 months before the blackout, on August 14, 2003, 200 scientists were working on analyzing the impact of a terrorist attack on the power grid. They came out with their report just 3 weeks after the August 14, 2003 blackout. Which raises questions about what happens when scientists or analysts decide they want to fiddle around with the grid and then maybe give it a shot to see just who's going to be left in the dark. And it goes without saying that that little shenanigan was a traumatic experience for a lot of people. And it was the first major disaster that affected the East Coast since the terrorist attacks of September 11th. Now, well, we were told by the major media that the cause of the blackout was a lightning strike. Or that we were also said it could have been an overload due to the use of air conditioners. We can also argue that the power grid loss was part of an even bigger false flag. It started with the warnings, the testing, the terrorist impact analysis, and then the real test on the unsuspecting people. Remember, August 14, 2003, 6 months prior to the blackout, 200 scientists were working on analyzing the impact of a terrorist attack on the power grid, testing the power grid. They warned us that they were going to test the power grid. They tested the power grid. They wanted to analyze a terrorist impact on the power grid. And then they did a real test on the people. The grid was carrying a heavy load that day. It was a typical day for August, so it looked like, well, plausible deniability. According to the Independent System Nerve Center, the grid was operating at about 75% of capacity. The grid was not particularly overloaded because of air conditioning demands. At least that's what the Independent System Nerve Center said. There was no air conditioning demands on the grid. But around 4 in the afternoon, there was an interesting anomaly that many people needed to know about. Newsweek reported that there was a large amount of power flowing from the New York area toward Ontario through the transmission lines. And this usually happens when a power plant goes down or you know, they're basically saying, well, we may have a substation that went or perhaps a line's down, and they check it. But what was unusual for that day is that the power surge went in reverse. It headed back towards New York. It was an 800 megawatt pulse from an unknown source. 800 megawatts, boom, pulsing through those lines. So generators immediately shut down. And the reason why is because they shut down to protect from a surge. They're supposed to do that to protect them from exploding. Well, the grid was shutting down out of control, and workers at the control stations watched helplessly as the Northeast was grinding to a halt. New York, Pennsylvania, the Midwest, Ontario, Canada, standstill. All it took was about 9 seconds, and boom, it was gone. America was in the worst blackout in history, and the experts had to figure out where the tidal wave came from. An estimated 50 million people were left without power. Nuclear power plants and oil refineries were forced to shut down. The reason why is because, well, if the power goes out, the coolant can't cool down the reactors. Well, the first report said there was a power station fire caused the shutdown. Well, in order to deflect rumors of a possible terrorist attack, another report was issued stating that lightning had struck the station on the border of New York and Canada. The Canadian government dismissed it, saying that's nonsense. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, according to the Canadian government, at least within 100 miles of the Niagara Mohawk station. So there was some really interesting theories as to how this went down. In the meantime, we were seeing images broadcast on the network showing New Yorkers sauntering home in 100-degree heat. It reminded me of what happened on September 11th when people were walking back to their homes or walking away from the debris. In fact, the most frustrating thing about the power failure is that there was an obvious omission that I caught in the reporting of the blackout. The media failed to point out that this blackout was an impressive first warning. I stood back and realized that while the experts were scrambling to get power back on, someone had to have been taking notes as to what was happening, saying, this is the first wave. There will be another wave and another wave and another wave, then we're going to be testing those reactions. I'm sure there's some black notebook somewhere that someone had entered a very telling passage in their journal, and I'm sure that there was a little bit of parentheses there that basically stated, America without power is a country that is vulnerable. The scientists were testing it that day. They were running drills and simulations, and boom, an 800 megawatt tsunami reversed course and took out the grid. The question is, how did that 800-megawatt source get into the grid? And who put it there? And who jolted that surge? Who was responsible for it? See, this is once again, we're seeing time and time and again a situation where they warned us it was going to happen. They told us they were going to do a drill. They tested the grid. The grid failed. People went without power. This repeats itself over and over again. I'm wondering if now, I mean, a lot of people are already aware of Grid X2. I mean, a lot of people have asked me about Grid X2. For those that don't know, the Federal Emergency Management Agency is doing a drill. It'll be conducted next month. Grid X2. A lot of people have been writing me saying, hey, Clyde, why don't you talk about it? It has something to do with Comet Ison or whatever, and I don't know. But let me tell you this much. I know this much about Grid X2. If it's anything like the last test, the first wave, then the second wave is going to be even greater. And Grid X2 certainly is something that we need to discuss here, because there are a lot of things happening right now that are newsworthy and, in my opinion, send big signals to me that something may be going down. And I'm not saying it has anything to do with ISON. I'm not saying it has anything to do with some sun, solar grid, something. I just don't think that's the case. I think that what's happening here is they're gathering all of the utility workers, the business executives, the National Guard, the FBI. They got anti-terrorism experts and also a lot of government agencies in the United States, Canada, and Mexico, all gathered around to see what happens with Grid X2. And I think that what we're going to do is we're going to uncover what may or may not be going down. I just am giving you this as a precautionary story. Not that I think that anything would happen. They assure us that no grid will go down. But you should pay attention to the news surrounding the news stories. And I'm going to give you those stories first, and then I want your opinion on what you think may happen. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. We'll be back.
Local area emergency for Lincoln and Moore counties. The following message is transmitted at the request of the Emergency Management Agency, Nashville, Tennessee. Duck River Electric customers will be without power for about 4 hours beginning 12 a.m. on Sunday, September 22nd. The outage will affect all of Moore County and part of Lincoln County around Boonville.
So far, we have no confirmation on what is causing this devastating outage, but rumors of a cyber attack are already being mentioned by authorities.
Reports are coming in of a massive grid failure that has taken power out along the east coast of the United States.
All of a sudden, it went completely black.
Is it true that power in the city went out?
The power was going out. So, no internet. Computer doesn't work. Nothing.
Somebody just broke in.
What? Go back to the house.
Did anybody help us?
The end of the world.
Let's go.
Why is nobody helping us?
Where are you, Daddy?
We now have reports that Texas has also lost its power in what appears to be a cascading domino effect.
I'm Clyde Lewis. You are listening to Ground Zero. The numbers to call tonight, 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Grid X2 is coming. Is it going to be just a drill? I know people have asked that question, but it's getting more and more likely that we may see something of this drill. We may go real time with it. I know a lot of people are afraid of the dark. I know a lot of people fear the dark. However, darkness is not all that awaits us if the grid shuts down. And there is a major blackout that could happen here in the United States. I remember there was a video that was released where Big Sis Napolitano got up and said, well, you know, the grid is the thing to be aware of. And I'm leaving my post and warning people about the grid and how the grid could fail us. I know many of us have experienced the inconvenience of a power failure that lasts several hours. However, power failures that last 3 days or more, that's when they begin to take their toll on people. Power failures that last days reacquaint us with how hostile our environment can become and how desperate people can get when they lack creature comforts. Power failures that happen for long periods of time begin to take their toll, and people feel helpless when they no longer can have basic needs met. I mean, in this special that they're going to be playing on the National Geographic Channel this Sunday, the power failure in the country lasts 10 days. And in that time, all kinds of hell breaks loose. I mean, look, you're going to be losing conveniences like your cell phone, the internet. That won't work. Cell phone and internet gone. You won't be able to have access to your money. It'll be impossible because ATMs will be offline. And even if the power failure happens in half, like the East Coast gets hit, some ATMs won't work because some banks have their general offices in East Coast areas. And if those originating computer, the computer grids go down first, you won't be able to get money out of your bank account. Sometimes, depending on what place you go to buy groceries, there'll be no power exchanges, no money exchanges, no food exchanges. Streetlights, traffic controls, shut down. Traffic, well, that'll come to a standstill, not just because of the fact that the traffic lights aren't working, but you'll also be seeing gasoline not being able to pump if there's a power failure. There's no way you get gas in the car unless you already have some on hand to pour into your tank. Of course, running water will stop if you're pumping your water out of wells, and most people are. So no running water. That means no toilets. They won't flush. Bathing and drinking, that stops unless you have bottled water or potable water that you have saved. Then you can use that. But otherwise, no, you're not going to have water coming to your house. And even then, if it does come, there may be some problems with it being pure or at least clean. Preparing food, that becomes difficult. And food itself, well, how about the stuff that's perishable, your meats and your other foods? That either has to be eaten quickly or thrown away. So whip out the barbecue and start patting up that meat because you're not going to be able to eat it. Might as well just get it out there and eat it and see what can happen with it. But in the meantime, no. I mean, I just don't think it's an accident that with all of the curiosity we have about GridX2, National Geographic is going to be airing on their cable television special, American Blackout. Here's a sample of American Blackout's commercial.
This afternoon, millions of Americans are without power.
The sun's going down. It's going to get really dark, and we're going to have to light some candles.
Are you doing nothing, too? Nobody's doing anything today because there's no power right now.
No power.
Nothing in here works.
There's no AC. Solar doesn't work.
What are we supposed to do?
Where's everybody?
We're stuck.
We got to get some water.
Wait your turn!
Daddy, when are you coming to pick us up?
The current blackout is the result of a cyber attack.
Why is nobody helping us?
American Blackout, a premier movie event, Sunday, October 27th at 9 on the National Geographic Channel.
And nobody's going to help you. That seems to be the question that's asked throughout the entire movie. I've already seen it. I had I was fortunate enough to get a preview of this show. It's a horror film. It really is. It's one of the scariest things I've seen in a long time. But a lot of people asking, why isn't anyone listening to us? Why isn't anyone giving us help? Why isn't anybody coming to our aid? Well, they're not going to, you see. When the power goes out, they don't know where to start. They're hoping that you have things available in your home. I tell you, to be honest with you, after seeing that video, I certainly want to take inventory of the candles and the batteries in our house. I certainly want to see if I have a crank radio somewhere. I know I have a few C Crane radios in my home, but I just was wondering if I have the crank radio, because if not, I've got one on my website I have to get a hold of, because it was just really creepy. In fact, they were talking about different things you could buy, like a little solar charger so you can charge your phones. But then again, you know, you're not going to have phone service, right? I mean, it's not going to last. you know, phone service can only last for so long, but then there's this huge demand for phone service because people are calling places where the power's out. So everything becomes, you know, harsh because you're not going to be able to communicate. You're not going to be able to eat right. You're not going to be able to drink well. You're not going to be able to bathe or clean up or anything like that. So bacteria, you know how it is. Well, you don't, because I don't know if you've been in a blackout those lasted 10 days. But that is what they're proposing with this American blackout. And it really feels like it's a bit of predictive programming. And it suddenly became apparent that being in the dark is real-time horror for a lot of people. And that this is very plausible, which makes it all the more horrific. And it's done in such a real way. It's like found footage, like they did with the Blair Witch Project and several other films. It's found footage film where you're watching these people who are recording it on their cell phones, they're recording it on their iPads. It's just a simple, it's not like it's a narrative. They're not going to say 5,000 people died. No, it's real time. It's like watching a news report. And I'm sure they're going to have to put disclaimers everywhere saying that nothing is happening, that the grid is not down. But they make it so real that you feel like that you're living it. And the most frightening images that struck me were real, you know, some of the children especially, because they were all, you know, feeling a little uneasy about things, worried about their parents because their parents weren't dealing. I mean, they had to deal. They're kids. I mean, they don't understand fully what's going on, but they're watching their parents break down. And one of the scariest things that was in the show were all the power transformers and substations that arc and explode. I mean, huge utility poles going up into flames and substations with arcs and explosions, creating fires. It's gripping. See, a lot of people just watching helplessly from their windows in their homes and places of business. Balls of electricity exploding and engulfing utility poles and buildings. Those big blue explosions at night that people are seeing. It looked like the end of the world. In fact, somebody says it looks like the end of the world. And it kind of felt like it when you're watching it. In the preview trailers that have been running on the internet and on television, I was actually chilled to see for a split second the words, "It will happen," before it ends with a thunderous drumbeat at the end. It will happen. I mean, it's right there. It will happen. As if they're telling us, be ready, it will happen. It's a horror movie for our time. It's really frightening. It creates a reason for everyone to prepare. And in fact, they even talk about preppers. About 3 million people in the country are preppers. And yet people laugh at them and say, nothing's going to happen in the country. But we have Grid X2 coming up, November 13th and 14th. They say it's a grid experiment or a drill. And the last time that happened, we had a huge power failure on the East Coast. Get your candles, get your crank radios. Get your snacks and your drinks and put them on ice, because I'll tell you, 72 hours of food, that's the minimum. And then things don't go so well for those that aren't prepared. The production of this, the show, American Blackout, the production groups that did this and put this together, obviously do not have much faith in how America would cope with such a long-term power failure. But it's not because they think we're all going to be failures and stupid. It's because they're erring on the side of human nature and how humans react in situations that they cannot control. When they're cold, tired, hungry, needing water, they all begin to break down slowly. 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Grid X2 is coming. They're testing the grid. Do you think that it may trip off a power failure? A lot of people before me have said yes, but now there are stories in the news that are indicating a big yes. I hope it doesn't happen, but I'm giving you the stories that are surrounding this major story. The Grid X2 drill is the biggest drill of its kind, actually. It's bigger than the one that they did prior that caused the, well, arguably caused the blackout on the East Coast. The Grid X2 drill requires the participation of a lot of utility workers, nearly, well, tens of thousands of utility workers being involved here, business executives, National Guard officers, FBI, anti-terrorism experts monitoring this kind of stuff. Officials from government agencies, they are also going to combine the efforts of authorities that work for utilities for the United States, Canada, and Mexico. I don't understand. It's actually going to be November 13th and 14th, so mark it on your calendar. If we have any problems with the grid, then you'll know that the 13th and 14th were the days they were supposed to be doing this. But what's really odd, as I said before, the American Blackout commercial says it will happen. And I don't know why they've decided to throw this special on National Geographic this Sunday, the National Geographic's channel. But it just seems like, as I said before, timing is everything. And the production is showing you what could go wrong here. And they do it, like I said, they don't have any faith in the way we're all going to handle this. But then again, I'd say that's because human nature demonstrates that it's this way. I don't know if you remember back in the 1960s, one of my favorite Twilight Zone episodes is the monsters are due on Maple Street. And what Rod Serling was demonstrating to us in the 60s is what could happen in any town, USA, when the lights go out. What happens is there's, you know, they talk about this huge roar and a flash of light, and the neighborhood just breaks down and begins to eat itself. And they start blaming people, and they go out in a sense, and they basically hunt down people that they believe are responsible for the power failure. But at the end, of course, they tell you all that, you know, they all speculate that it was aliens. Well, in 2003, they decided to remake it for the Twilight Zone, but they changed the name. It's not The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. The Monsters Are on Maple Street is what they called it. And it was believed that in the show that terrorists were responsible for the failure of the power grid. However, it was later revealed that the culprit of this was the U.S. government, particularly the Army. What they were doing is they were conducting a power grid test, a power grid drill. They were testing the reaction of people, how they would react to a power failure and to the possibility of terrorism. The National Geographic television special about America's blackout actually says that it's a cyber attack that causes the blackout. And so we have to assume that they're getting at the fact that someone's trying to hack the grid or do something. But once again, as I said, timing is everything, because I was reading today in the New York Times, and this was a story that was published on the 18th of October, that two researchers now have discovered that they could freeze or crash the software that monitors the substations. What that would do is that would blind control centers that basically watch the power grid and keep it from going crazy. If you want to look up the New York Times article, it's entitled "Electrical Grid is Called Vulnerable to Power Stations." It was written by Nicole Perlroth. And this is what it says, quote, "Over the past few months, the discoveries of two engineers have led to a steady trickle of claims and alarms from the Department of Homeland Security concerning a threat to the nation's power grid, yet hardly anyone has noticed. The vulnerability that is exposed in the article is that the communications protocol, it's a program, the communications protocol that is used to monitor substations around the country, can be hacked so that no one can see that the substations have been tampered with. So terrorists could easily hack into the system of a single unmanned power substation, shut it down, or give it a power surge, and that would cause a domino effect, and we'd have a widespread blackout." And according to the report, researchers are saying that nothing, I repeat, nothing is being done to correct the vulnerability of this protocol, this communications protocol. So it's vulnerable. And before you start saying, well, you're letting everybody know, this was in the New York Times, okay? They're warning you. They're going to test you. And maybe, just maybe, it will happen, just like it did before, okay? And I know a lot of us don't remember a lot of these stories because they always fall into the memory hole. But just remember the blackout histories, looking back and saying, okay, when was the last time this happened? Well, it's back when they were doing the independent study where they brought in all the scientists, 200 of them. That was on August 14th. Brought in 200 scientists. They were analyzing the impact of a terrorist attack on the power grid. And then later came a power failure. Now GridX 2 is happening on November 13th and 14th. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they'll avoid a blackout? Or do you think we'll be sensing or feeling some impact from this test? 888-673-3700. That's 888-673-3700. Get into your phone calls coming up on Ground Zero. Don't go away.
FM News 101 KXL.